This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
You don't need to be fluent to appreciate the Irish language. And if you're looking for an injection of Gaeilge into your life, this week's I Recommend is for you. iRadio alum Laura Pakenham's new book, Irish History and Culture Through Language, is set to be officially released here tomorrow. You may know Laura from her work with us here at iRadio. She's also renowned for her work with Tidhg Cathair and Nuacht Cúile Cathair. And you might have encountered her over on TikTok or Gaeltalk. Her account, Barbie na Gaeilge, has reached many corners of the world. And that notoriety led her to getting a book deal with Simon & Schuster over in the States. Laura, thank you for joining me on iRadio's group chat ahead of the big day tomorrow. Take me back to the beginning first of how you started your work in the Gaeilge media sphere and how ultimately this has now led to this book being written.
Yeah, I have had a weird and wonderful journey with the language, both personally and professionally. I wasn't raised with the language or anything necessarily. I went to English medium schools, but decided to pursue it in college and do a degree through Irish for some unknown reason. But I'm glad I did. And after I got my primary teaching degree, I was like a little moth being drawn towards the lights of media. And I said, ooh, this could be fun. And the Irish language media industry is just so open and so welcoming. You know, to any young person with the language who wants to experience it, I had no experience in the industry, but the doors were opened wide to me, and I started posting Irish language content on TikTok to kind of support and also push my career in mainstream media. And then in January 2025, I guess a publisher saw it and they were like, we like what this girl does, let's put those TikToks on paper. And that's what we've done.
It's such an incredible story. It really is like such a full circle moment for you. Like this time last year, you were stuck in probably to the early writing process with Simon & Schuster. What was that like? Obviously, they're based in the States. So I imagine not only was the writing process intense, but also like your meetings were probably over Zoom and things like that.
Yeah, like I will say they were very trustworthy in just like, yeah, we found the right girl to do this. Let's just let her do her thing. And which I really appreciated. Like in the beginning, I, of course, had to do some samples and stuff to get approved. OK, like she can talk on TikTok, but can she write? That was what they wanted to see. And thankfully, I was able to write as per their standards. But yeah, like it was really straightforward and very chill in a way. I've had three contacts so far in this whole process. The initial lady who contacted me about the book and who I went through the planning with and like figuring out the vibe of the book and the theme and the layout. I had an editor and now I have a publicist. And that's it. Like I just worked away, essentially put my TikToks onto paper, sent them on. They changed very little or had very little to correct. They were just like, yeah, this is what we wanted. And it's been weirdly straightforward to the point where I feel like it hasn't sunk in, because I feel like so many of us have this preconceived notion that writing a book is this grueling, taxing task, and for so many I'm sure it is, but I'm just like, I can't have gotten this lucky, it can't have been this easy. Now of course there was a lot of long nights, a lot of Red Bull was drank, but I'm just like, this has been amazing, like no crazy bumps in the road, and like from tomorrow I'm going to be able to see the fruits of my labour.
I am so buzzing for you. And obviously, as I've already said, Laura, of course, you worked with me here on iRadio for a long time. And it was fascinating to watch you go through that writing process as well as balance your work life. Because you'd be like, we'd be like heading off in the evening. And I'd be like, any plans? And you'd be like, yeah, the book. The book.
Yes.
And it's all come it's all come full circle now. And if people are looking to go out and buy this book now, tell them what they can expect from it. What is it about in simple terms?
So essentially, it's kind of like a diary. On every page, there's a word or a phrase in Irish that is very easily integratable into your everyday life. And beneath every word and phrase, there's, of course, your pronunciation guide and your translation. And the best way to describe it is like a little diary entry based on each word and phrase, how you can use it in everyday scenarios, maybe the etymology, where it comes from, and also its links to culture and history and tradition. This book doesn't only deal with the Irish language, it's how the language has shaped us as a nation, shaped us as a people, how we've taken these traditions and notions across the globe with us. And there's so many little phrases we all have in English or in Irish English that we probably don't know come from Irish, and so many little notions and traditions and everything. It really is for full circle as a book. It's not overly academic. It's not going to feel like reading a textbook in school. Every phrase gets related to everyday life in Ireland.
What is one of your favourite ones from the book?
There's so many. Like, one that I loved researching was the tradition of the wake in Ireland. The word for a wake in Ireland is thorough. And the reason Irish people have this tradition of a wake, and that you don't see it necessarily mirrored in other cultures, is because back in the day, puttin was so strong, and also it used to be stored in lead barrels. So when consumed, it would lead people to become comatose or have lead poisoning and then be comatose. So you can see where this is going. It happened clearly often enough for it to become common practice that someone was presumed dead, buried or placed in the coffin for them only to then wake up a couple of days later because they were actually just comatose from lead poisoning from the puttin. So then the Irish people started this notion of laying the body out in the house for a couple of days in case they wake up.
I've never heard that story before. I'm obsessed. Like, yeah, as in these little snippets of things that, like, even people that have grown up in Ireland don't even know about Ireland.
Exactly. Like, it was written really to share the beauty of Ireland with, I guess, an international audience. But there's so much that all of us at home don't know, haven't thought about in a certain way. It's really eye-opening. And, like, I think there's a lot of pages in the book where you'll be sitting there and going, like, oh my God, like, that's nuts. You know, just making the connections between language, between traditions, mythology, culture, history. There really is something in there for everybody.
And tell me, is it generally something that any level of Irish, if you have any level or even no Irish, is there any specific level that you have to be at to buy the book, or can it be for anyone?
No, like, I would say my fellow fluent people at the same level of Irish as me, they mightn't necessarily learn many new phrases. There's definitely some niche ones in there that I found, especially when it comes to blessings and curses. That's one of my favourite chapters of the book. So even for the fluent people, there's something new in there for you. You don't need to have a lick of Irish to understand this book. And for those people, I would actually recommend the audiobook so you can hear me speaking the language, which really helps, because sometimes it can be tricky to grasp a foreign language just from a page. But of course, there's a full chapter on pronunciation to help you with that. And of course, there's the pronunciation guide on each page that's laid out really, really simply. You could be fluent in Irish. As I said, there's so many little niche things about the language that you're going to learn that you mightn't have heard before. But as well, for someone who hasn't a lick of Irish, there's so much there to consume.
It's probably important for us to flag at this point. Yes, the book obviously does have Gaeilge in it, but it is Asperla. It is in English, so people can take it in that way. Just to touch on something you said a couple of minutes ago, I know that you went to English-speaking schools. You didn't grow up in a Gaeltacht region, and it was school where you were introduced to the Irish language. There's obviously been so many people campaigning in recent years about improving the curriculum and expanding it at secondary school level. What changes, in your view, would need to be done to make the Gaeilge curriculum more engaging for people, ultimately maybe a bit more useful down the line, that people will be using Irish as much as possible in a lovely way?
Yeah, to put on my Minister for Education hat here, and as a qualified primary teacher through Irish, the primary language curriculum for Irish is quite strong. It was renewed in 2019. Where the issue comes into play with primary schools is that we unfortunately in this country have teachers who don't have a love for the language. I never loved maths in school myself. I don't particularly love teaching maths, but I can do what I need to do and I can get that information across and I can make sure my students understand it. Teaching Irish is a weighted task and it has to be fueled by a genuine love and care for the language. And unfortunately, that's not plausible for every single primary teacher in the country to have when they're also handling 13 other subjects. So that's primary level. I would advocate for designated Irish teachers in primary schools. Teachers are already handling 13 plus subjects. That's a lot to be able to teach the Irish with a passion and a love as well, because that's the first step. If you really need to instill the grow for the language in them in primary school. When it comes to secondary school, I think there should be two streams. I think there should be a stream that focuses more on the communicative language, so listening, speaking, practical elements, maybe for those who would go and work in the likes of screen industries, etc. And then there should be a more literary focused stream. which is your people who are going to go on and be translators, work in legislation. So that even if you're not the most academically keen person, you can still engage with the language at secondary school at a communicative level, which means you'll be able to use it in your life. That's my pitch. Somebody send that on to the Department of Education right now, because I think I've hit the nail on the head.
I think you have hit the nail on the head, even in my own view, because like when I was in school, we've even talked about this before, like we got the same grade in our Leaving Cert.
And oh yeah, I think like, you even did better than me in Leaving Cert.
But what's mental is that I don't have the level of fluency in the language that you do. And even when we're hanging out, disclaimer to our listeners, we're obviously pals off air, as you can probably tell by now. whenever you're speaking Oscuelga, like I can kind of generally pick up what you're saying, but I wouldn't even, like I can't even remember how to construct, how to reply. So having something that would be based on communication for the majority of students who aren't going to go on and be translators and work in the department and stuff like that probably would be really, really key. And I really hope as well that so many young people read your book. Tell me where we can find you online if we want to follow along with your journey.
If you want to follow along online, you can follow me on Insta and TikTok at Laura J. Pakenham. And I also have at Barbie Naguelga on Instagram as well. I'll be posting so many deets about where the book is, where it's cropping up, where you can find it. But yeah, it's going to be in all the main bookshops as well as some fabulous independent bookshops as well around the country. And I just can't wait to see people at home actually getting their hands on it. I think I'm going to cry. I'm going to be a ball of tears.
Tomorrow is going to be a big day. Before I let you go, and I recommend whenever we have our lovely guests with us, we do like to get the guests to recommend something that they're currently obsessed with at the minute, whether it be a book, a series, a podcast, or maybe in your case, another Gwael talker that we need to be following. Who would you be recommending for us today?
I would recommend at Sean with a Father on socials. He is fantastic. For listeners here who maybe want to take that first step towards using Irish simply in their everyday life, he does simple language swaps. So he'll say, stop saying milk and start saying banya. And he really breaks it down in a digestible way for those who are looking to reignite the flame of Gaelic in their lives or who are just making their start. So yeah, at Sean with the Father, and I'm going to be appearing on a panel with him for Seachtain na Gaeilge up in TikTok HQ, which is super exciting. So Sean with the Father, he's the GOAT.
Another one to add to our follow list. Laura, thank you so much. Gramila Gafalat, I am so delighted that you joined us on iRadio's group chat, and I'm sure we will have many more conversations in the future on air and also off air too.
Absolutely. I'd say more off air than on air, but absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.